Okay, well, welcome to our last night of our fall midweek gathering on Christian marriage. This is kind of the coolest night of them all, because as you guys know, marriage is different for each married person, because we're all different people. And so while we have these kind of big, broad truths about marriage that's helpful for us to know, it's really helpful to know particulars. So who we have here for us today, actually, if I could go ahead and have you guys just share your name and how long you've been married, and then maybe how long you've been at Quinault. So let's start here with Eddie and Kinsey, representing the youthful party of the church.
Yeah, we're Eddie and Kinsey, and we've been married 4 years. Yeah. And we've been members at Quinault for... what month is it?
It's 11 months.
11 months.
Yeah. Yes. All right, thank you, Eddie and Kinsey.
Reese and Shauna, we've been married 20 years. We've been here at Quinault for almost 15 years.
And how many kids do you have?
We have 3 kids.
Ages?
We have a 15-year-old who's serving in the back, and then a daughter and two sons.
And I'm sorry, Eddie and Kinsey, I didn't ask you that. How many children do you have?
One.
And age?
He's 2.
He's 2. Little Shep. All right. Okay.
Joe and Sherry Belanti, we've been married 61 years. We have 2 daughters, 13 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren.
And how many dogs?
And 2 dogs. Yes. What?
And a partridge in a pear tree,
you said. And a partridge in a pear tree, along the way.
And how long have you guys been here at Quinault?
We've been at Quinault since January of 2016.
Okay. Well, praise God. Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead. How this is going to work tonight is I have a series of questions that I'm going to ask them, but at a certain point, I'm going to stop asking them questions, and I'm going to just turn it over to you. And if you have a question, I'm going to come down here with this microphone. I'm going to hand it to you, and you can feel free to ask anyone here up on the stage a question. But before we get going any further, I'm going to pray. Well, Father, we thank you for this night. Father, we thank you for these 3 married couples. We thank you for their children, for their marriages, for their testimony of faith, for their service here at Quinault. Father, we pray now that you would lead us into just a greater appreciation of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in marriage. God, we pray that you would encourage us, humble us, and excite us for your good plan of marriage. Pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and start with Eddie and Kinsey. So, Eddie and Kinsey, could you just share with us a bit what your marriage story is? How'd you guys meet each other? How long did you date? And what led you to decide to get married?
Okay. So, it was, I guess, the summer of 2018. I just graduated college, and I was going to go back for my master's. So I took a summer internship at a church in Kentucky, which happened to be the church that he grew up going to. He had been out of college for a couple years at that point, but had come back to Bowling Green, and so was attending that church again. I was the youth ministry intern, and so I had a lot of jobs, I guess, to do there, but one of the bigger ones was helping lead a summer camp, and he volunteered as well. He was a counselor at that camp, and I was in a relationship at the time. for, I think, the last 3 years. I was dating someone. I was telling everyone at this camp I was going to marry that person.
Did you tell Eddie that?
By the end of camp, he knew. You knew, didn't you?
I don't know.
What? Yeah, you did. 3 years. Well, okay. There's some more details that we don't need to get into. By the end of camp, Eddie asked for my number the last day and asked me on a date, and I said, "Hold that thought." I broke up with my boyfriend, and we were engaged 4 months later.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. That's an awesome story.
I don't know what that says to you about Eddie or my previous relationship.
That's right. It sounds like a man who knows what he wants.
But yeah. Did we answer?
Yeah, you did. And so then you, engaged 4 months later?
Yes.
And how long were you engaged?
8 months.
8 months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was just 4 years ago you were married?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Praise God. Yep. Thanks, guys. Okay, Reese, Shauna.
I'm getting my last few cues here.
Okay.
So when I was a sophomore in high school at Richland High, my grades were way low. And my parents made me transfer to Liberty Christian School for my junior year. So as a kid who didn't know Jesus showing up at a small Christian school, it was culture shock. And about halfway through my first year, there's this really cute girl that's trying to set me up with her best friend. She was the cute girl. And, like, we ended up dating. She was 16, I was 17. We dated for on and off for a few years through college, high school. Broke up a couple times.
So you weren't a believer when you went to the school?
I was not.
When did you come to faith?
So what's kind of weird is I heard the gospel there at Liberty Christian when I was, 16, 17. And I thought I was saved because the gospel was so new and it was so appealing. And I was committed to that. What's crazy, and you'll probably hear later on in my story, is I really didn't understand grace and didn't feel like Jesus really took over my life till 25. But yeah.
So how long did you guys date before you were married?
Well, we had some pretty long breakups, but like 4-ish years. Yeah.
And then how old were you when you were married?
Then I proposed to her at the same place that that I asked her out in high school, and we were engaged for 8 months, and then got married.
Nice.
Yeah, she was 20, I was 21.
Hey, that's how old Hillary and I were when we got married.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good age.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay, thanks, guys. Joe, Sherry?
We met in college the very end of our first year in college in Portland.
What year was it, Joe?
Oh, my. 1960. Yeah.
1960.
Yeah. Some of you weren't even born yet. 1960. At the end of that year, we got together that summer. I traveled with a brass quartet through the Northwest. And
a brass quartet?
Yeah, I played the trumpet. We had two trumpets, two trombones, and a piano player. And we traveled and went to churches all over the Northwest, one of which was her father's church. And I wrote almost every day. I wrote her a letter. And then when we came back to school, of course, then during that second year, we got engaged, and then we got married after we graduated in 1962, August 31st, 1962.
Praise
God. And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
And we dated, so I guess we dated for a couple of years. We were engaged for a year, year and a half.
And were you living in different towns?
No, I was wrong.
Well, I don't know. It's been so long ago, I don't know. But we did get married right away because we both graduated. He's living in Oregon. I'm living in Wyoming. So instead of us just, we just decided to get married. And as I look back on it, I think, what were we thinking? Because we didn't know each other except through school. Well, you're living in a whole little bubble, when you go to a Christian college. I mean, there's nothing realistic about it at all. And so then we just decided to get married. And so we did. And He was good.
There's a whole lot of history there. Yeah. We don't have time to go through. Well, that. I'd be glad to share it with you individually.
That might dovetail well into our second question. What do you wish, and this is, and we can go ahead now, let's start, just anyone who wants to answer first, okay? What do you wish you knew about marriage before you were married? And then what advice would you give a younger version of yourself? So what do you wish you knew about marriage before you were married? And what advice would you give a younger version of yourself?
Well, I wish we knew everything. We both, I don't want to be too blunt, but we were both dumb. And literally, dumb and dumber. is really what we were. We got no counsel. Both our fathers were pastors, but we got no counsel. We got no direction. I came from a home where the father was very dominant and a yeller, screamer. She came from a home where her parents never argued in front of her. And so the first few years of our marriage were pretty rough, because I followed the model I knew, she followed the model she knew, and it took us a while to learn how to dance in terms of just getting along and dealing with it. So I wish we had had counsel, good counsel. I wish we had waited a little bit longer, and I wish I had not taken the direction that my father gave me at the time, which was almost totally destructive to our marriage. But by the grace of God, we made it 61 years.
Amen.
I think a lot of the work when you go to get married happens before you actually get married. I would encourage you to really, really get to know each other. You know, I mean, I didn't know anything about him except that he played a horn and he was at school.
She thought I was cute.
Yeah, and he had black hair. I always said, I'm not going to marry a blonde.
Black hair like black.
Yeah. And so, you know, we didn't have that that realistic time before we came together. And so I think young couples that are getting married now, I've noticed that they do spend much more time getting to know them. Of course, there's always surprises. You know, you don't get to know each other perfectly. But, that's where we were. God was good. God was faithful.
So. Yeah, be friends. Be friends first, and then take your time.
I'm dying to hear you play the trumpet now, Joe. It must be really good.
I haven't played it for so long. It'd be awful.
Reese, Shauna? Let me just kick it to you guys. What do you wish you knew about marriage before you were married? And if you could talk to a younger version of yourself, what would you tell yourself?
So we brought this up last night. So Olivia, we kind of went through the questions a little bit, what we were thinking last night. And Olivia was at the dinner table with us. And Shauna brought up a great point. She's like, it's almost not what I'd tell myself, but like, what am I going to tell her? Like, what's most important to tell her? And I thought Olivia was very loving in saying that we've put the gospel up front and first in our marriage relationship over these last few years, and she picks that up and she understands that. I don't think we knew that going into marriage. Like, I think I felt like we were kind of dumb and dumber too and didn't know what we were doing. And so we had a really wise lady at Liberty Christian our senior year. They did a marriage class, and she was really clear to us about two things. Like, you keep Christ at the center of your marriage, and also you never mention the word divorce. Like, it doesn't even come on the table. You don't even let it come out of your mouth. And like, as much fighting as you do those first few years, it was very good advice for us, helpful.
Eddie Kinsey?
I would say...
Long ago, that whole 4 years ago, if you can remember.
Yeah. I think I would tell us how important it is to have a church. And we both, like at that point, had churches. Like, we met at a church. But we, I don't think, really valued what the church does for the marriage, especially like a, you know, gospel, like doctrine, gospel, culture, church that, like, goes with you in life. Because I feel like it kind of was, we got lucky because we had really good churches in our life. So, I mean, by God's grace, yeah, we just landed in good churches. But I don't think we had the foresight to say, we need these people, like, in this marriage with us. And especially in, like, the last year or two, cause just having kids, like, life gets harder and more complicated, and it seems like there's, like, trials are harder and suffering's deeper and stuff. So having Quinault especially has been super helpful for us to have, you know, brothers and sisters that, like, walk in that with us and model what marriage should be and having people in different stages of life. Like, so I think, you know, by God's grace, we looked into good churches, but I don't think we had the idea that we needed it as much as we know we do now. Yeah. And I think, well, I guess one other thing, what I would tell myself is to just be cognizant of how, like, legalistic I can be. Because I know when we first got married, I tended to serve in a way that it was like, okay, do all these things, and I was, like, happy to do all these things, thinking it meant I would be served, you know, on the other end at some point. And so it was a very, you know, works-based relationship for me as far as how I served Kinsey. And I still did it, but again, it wasn't the right motives. And so I think I would tell myself, like, be aware of this, you know, sin in your life that you tend to go that direction, because, yeah, that I think hurt. When you swallow that later on, you're like, that was not good. So I think I would say that. Do you want to add anything?
I think I always think about if I could go back or tell my younger self something, it would be on the day of the wedding itself. I think it can be so easy to get distracted by the bells and whistles of a wedding and, like, figuring out the details and what Instagram or, you know, all the books tell you you should have in a wedding. But I wish I could tell my younger self to just, like, focus on the God-honoring elements and then just make it a celebration, you know, and not get stressed about the other stuff. So, yeah, that's what I'd say.
Good. All right. What does Paul's teaching on headship and submission actually look like in your marriage? Maybe let's start back again with Joe and Sherry. So, what does Paul's teaching on headship and submission look like in your marriage?
Can I go to Peter instead of Paul?
Sure.
First Peter.
Could you hold the microphone up to your...
First Peter 3, mm-hmm. verse 7. Well, it starts way up front about likewise wives be subject to your husbands. Excuse me. But verse 7, likewise husbands live with your wives in an understanding way. I'm glad he put it that way, because I'm not sure any of us understand our wives. So we're to live with them in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So I think what that looks like is the husband has, in some ways, the greater responsibility. And when we fulfill our God-given role, it's fairly easy, I think, for our wives to follow through and submit lovingly and caringly to a husband who treats her in an understanding way. Now, she can tell you the difference. She can give you the real picture.
No, you know, I had grown up in a Christian home, and so I had heard about, you know, that you, as a wife, you needed to be submissive to your husband, and it was always kind of like a negative way. And he, like he said earlier, he came out of a home that was very structured, that his father was the be-all, end-all of everything. And so he kind of decided that he would try that on me.
Wrong.
And so we went along with that for a while. But then all at once I said, no, this is not going to work, you know. This is, I'm me, I have a brain, I have thoughts, I know what I'm talking about, and so you need to listen to some of the things. You still have the right to make a final decision, you know. I mean, he never came home and said, oh, well, we're going to move to Timbuktu, you know, get your stuff ready. But so that caused quite a bit of communication between us because he really didn't understand it, you know, perfectly. And I think the husband does have much more to do than we do, you know. Does Christ love the church? That's how you're supposed to love your wife? That's a big responsibility. So I think the more of that character that is shown, it's much easier, you know. So he finally decided that he would listen to me now and then.
Yeah, she started talking and I quit talking.
Yeah.
That's almost literally true for the first few years of our marriage. She hardly said a word and I yapped on forever.
Yeah.
Because I was insecure and some other things.
And then finally,
we reversed that, and now she talks all the time, and I hardly say a word.
I was very shy when we first got married. But
the Lord cured you of
that. But she rose to the occasion.
I did.
Thank the Lord.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Reese, Shauna?
How can you top that?
Seriously. They should go last.
Yeah, I'll make them go last next time. Just for you guys, like, what does this look like in your marriage? I mean, you've been married 20 years now. You've had to think about this.
So we know most of you guys out there fairly well, and my wife is incredibly honoring of me, and I don't deserve that, but when she speaks of me to other people, she's always been very honoring and very loving towards me, and that makes leading easy when she just is so sacrificial and gracious to me. And when she treats you like that, you want to lead well. And by leading well, that's not domineering, but just wanting to sacrifice back for her. And I think we haven't had too many issues with, like, oh, who's controlling the decisions here?
Except for tonight.
Yeah, except tonight. So it's a miracle that she's here, up here on stage. Public speaking is not at the top of her list. I forgot what I was saying. Anyways, she's very honoring of me, and she's my best friend, and I trust her with everything. And that makes leading easy, and it makes decision-making easy because I trust what she wants.
Shauna, you want to, what does it look like for you? Maybe you could help some of our sisters here from your perspective.
Well, I think it's the same. It goes both ways. Jesus is first, and that shows in everything he does and says. And so it just plays out like you said.
Thank you, Shauna. Eddie, Kinsey, what's this look like for you guys?
We definitely didn't have any talks in, like, you know, dating, engagement, about, like, what roles looked like how you were supposed to navigate, how I was supposed to navigate, how decisions were supposed to go. It's worked out, and not because of that, but I wouldn't recommend that, but I don't know. I mean, with Kinsey, she's just always approached, like, conversations, and if there's ever, like, differing opinions, she's always approached it in a sense that, like, we both want to glorify God in this decision, and we both have, like, selfish tendencies and sin in our lives that, you know, we hope the other person can root out of us. But we haven't had too many, like, you know, points of conflict where one person had to, like, I had to say, it's going to be this way. And so I'm very grateful that, like, Kinsey's just always had a heart that wants to honor God and honor me in that way. I think she's always submitted in that way. Submitting, I don't know, I think she gives me the opportunity to lead even in her, like, spiritual formation. and maybe like I don't even deserve it, but like this year, like the last year or so, like she's had like amazing like spiritual growth. Like her faith, it seems like really just like skyrocketing at a pace faster than me. But she, like, when she wants to get in the Word, like, she invites me and asks me questions, even, like, when I don't have the answers, and, like, allows me to lead in a way that, like, I can walk us through that in a way that definitely makes me feel good. Even though I don't have the answers, like, she lets me find the answer with her. Yeah. You have anything to add?
No, I mean... Yeah, I think Eddie's always just, it's been very evident how much he trusts God and, like, seeks God's guidance above all things. And so I think that's why we were, you know, we were on such a quick trajectory. You know, I just trusted that right off the bat and could see that in him. And so that's very evident in our marriage. He's a very natural leader when it comes to, like, spiritual stuff. And so he's always, you know, encouraging us to pray together and, you know, read our Bibles and do, you know, all of those things. And so that's really great. And so it's very easy. I love getting to be his helper. It's, yeah, a joy. And it also means that the thermostat is always a little bit colder in our house than I would probably put it.
Okay, well, I'm going to kick it right back to you guys here, okay? What have been the biggest sources of conflict in your marriage, and how have you worked through that?
So we were talking about this last night, and, like, even in talking about it, like, our blood pressure's, like, raised a little bit, I think. So it's obviously not something we've, like, handled great and, like, have conquered, but I think, and this is just a very, like, specific example, but just how to navigate our extended families while being, like, our own family, especially since our families are so far apart. Like, we lived near my family for the first couple years of our marriage. We now live near Kinsey's family. There's just, and we grew up in very different styles of homes, so you feel like there's expectations with this family that you, like, are trying to meet, and I think it can feel like, you know, one of us is just pandering to our family, and the other person doesn't see that. I'm not trying to throw darts or anything. No. Yeah.
Get into a fight right now and show us how you walk through the conflict.
So clearly we don't know exactly how to, you know, conquer the conflict. But, yeah, it's just difficult because you want to, like, I've had to learn how we honor our nuclear family. But also, like, how do you honor your mom and dad, you know, and that. So, like, understanding the priority there has just been hard. Yeah. But again, like, we, like, Kinsey is, like, so gracious, and, like, when I have strong opinions on something, like you were mentioning, I think maybe last week, like, I think she tries to see, like, the best part of my argument and, like, start there and not tear down the dumb parts, which is, like, the majority. I don't know. Did you add something?
But we talk about it a lot, and, like, that is so helpful, you know? I think, I mean, we talked about it last night, and I already feel better about it, you know? And I think that's what's so helpful is we don't put things under the rug. We talk about them right away, and I feel like that, I don't know, that's really helpful. Yeah. Or I guess we're prompted by having to come up on stage and specifically talk about things, so I don't know. But, yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah, we're very lucky, and I think this probably comes out of, like, insecurity for me, but, like, yeah, we don't really, like, leave an argument with, like, fumes, like, slam the door, because, like, I do feel insecure if that were to happen, like, that, like, am I okay in Kinsey standing, whether that's right or wrong or not. Like, we have been fortunate that, like, we can at least, like, sit in the conflict and not, and still, like, have some level of love and communication after it, I think.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Reese, Shauna, what have been the biggest sources of conflict in your marriage, and how have you worked through that?
It's kind of embarrassing.
It is kind of embarrassing. So when we were first married, we were broke, like broke, and we had nothing to our name, and you would think we'd fight about money. And we also had different schedules, like where we had some long-distance relationship time or She would work at night and I'd work at day, so you'd think maybe it was quality time. Nope. Number one is?
Cleanliness.
Cleaning. Cleaning.
For 20 years. Let me tell you how I resolved this issue.
Yeah, cleaning.
With a broom.
Yeah. I think, I mean, now that we've been married 20 years, there's a lot less conflict. Hopefully that's encouraging, but there is not very, we just don't fight very much anymore. But I feel like we're way more sacrificial towards each other 20 years, obviously 20 years in, whereas when we first got married, it was like, I don't care if I leave my towel on the floor, I don't care if we go a whole month without doing dishes, like it was all about me. And God's morphed that into us both sacrificing for each other. I think that has resolved the majority of the conflicts we have. I do remember, and I think everybody has this issue, but when we first got married, she would have to process our fights for like 48 to 72 hours, and she would just sit in that. And I wanted to resolve it right then, and that was our big, it made marriage really difficult to start out because I was ready to resolve it, and she was on a 72-hour watch. And, like, I'm just sitting there just, like, boiling inside trying to figure this out. And you've been gracious to just deal with it when we have problems now, so.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Thanks, guys. Joe, Sherry?
Yeah, you should, yeah, because a lot of it had to do with my attitude.
No, unfortunately, due to some circumstances that we had no control over, we ended up in the ministry right away. We didn't have any time,
Sherry,
just as
you,
husband
Sherry,
and wife.
You, I'm sorry, could you just hold the microphone just a little bit closer to your mouth?
Hold it closer to you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Right.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, we ended up in the ministry right away. And we lived in this little parsonage, and we didn't have any furniture, but we had a dryer. I don't know why. I don't know why we had a dryer. We didn't have a washing machine. But I had a dog, of course, you know. And so being in the ministry, as we went along, we really didn't take any breaks from ministry. We just kept going to this church and that church, and finally ended up in Spokane, which was good, and he was the youth man in Spokane. But I think one of our issues were that back then, and y'all can't relate to this, but on Sunday morning, it was you stuck dinner in the oven, you know, before you left for church. I mean, and so he would be in the cloud somewhere, you know, on Sunday morning. And he would say to me, well, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, here's our two little girls running around with no clothes on. Maybe you could, you know, maybe you could get them dressed for me. And so it's always, I mean, even now, I don't understand why men cannot see what to do. Agree? Yeah? It's like, you have to do this, you know. And so we kind of went through that for a while. And, of course, we were like you. We didn't have 5 cents to rub together, you know. So after a while, not having any money to do most anything, it gets a little irritating, you know. But anyway, that's what was going on. So being in ministry and just being first married was very difficult. I would not recommend it to anyone, you know, because you need some time. Right, babe?
Yeah, I think I think as I think back on it, that marriage is like dance, like learning to dance. You learn to work together over a period of time. You learn to communicate. You learn what to do and what not to do, what irritates and what doesn't irritate. Sometimes you stay with irritate, but you learn over time to treat one another in the loving and kind way that the scripture calls for us to do. And you do a lot of communicating. Probably the most difficult part of our marriage is somewhat like Reese and Shauna, that Sherry would just be quiet. And I would be raging and she would be totally quiet, and it just tore me apart. I just could hardly stand still. But we learned through that to communicate in realistic ways and in honest ways, and thus I use the metaphor of dancing. We learned to dance together so that we weren't stepping all over each other and stumbling around.
Marriage dancing in marriage. We don't know how to dance. We don't know how to dance.
We took lessons and they laughed us off the floor, literally. So we can't dance because we were told not to dance when we were growing up. But we learned to dance as a couple in terms of marriage and conflict. do a lot of communicating. Do a lot of honest, open communication. And learn to hear what your spouse is saying. Really listen well. It took me a long time to get that. And I probably don't have it yet, but...
Well, let's start with you guys then.
I think sometimes we're so thinking, when we're communicating, instead of really listening to what each other is saying, is you're trying in your mind to think, what can I say to this? You know, how can I get my two bits worth in here instead of listening what we were saying? So there's seasons in all of our lives, and most of you are not where we are, but... right now, we don't hardly ever fight, do we?
I don't think so.
Boring. No.
Yeah, we just get along so well, isn't it?
Okay, and this will be our last question before we open it up to you guys. And if you guys don't have any questions, I have more questions I can go through here. But what's the best marriage advice you've ever received?
I just got some marriage advice literally yesterday. And I thought it was so good, I said, I'm going to...
It's been 61 years, Joe.
I thought I would share it with you. This came from a young couple, about married about 4 or 5 years, and they had just read a book on marriage. And the book said, the advice in the book was to treat your wife like you did on your first date. So the next night, that young man dropped his wife off to his parents' house. So that's the best advice I've got.
We didn't really get a lot of advice, but one thing my grandma said to me was, she said, don't. Well, she was married at 13, had 12 children, so, you know, that was kind of, I said, well, we're not going to do that, you know, but... I don't know. It's marriage is such an individual thing with each couple, and you just have to work through this. I don't know. Fortunately, neither one of our parents were around, you know, so we didn't have that conflict on, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever as to, you know, what we're going to do. But it was lonely, that's for sure, wasn't it? But
well, for 3 years... we were in Sheridan.
Right.
When we were in Tencent, Idaho, to the church, first church that I pastored, there were people who had kids who were older than me. I was 21. Wouldn't recommend all that, but 7 months after we were there, Sherry became deathly ill with ulcerative colitis and nearly died, and so we moved to Sheridan, where she grew up and where her parents were, so that she could recover. And so we spent 3 years there not with her parents. We lived in a separate apartment, but while she recovered there, and I was youth pastor at a Baptist church. But so that was the only time that we were together with one or the other sets of parents. Sherry had a real difficulty with my father, and so we never got along real well with them, but Sherry's dad was like a father to me, and so we got along really well. Her folks, her parents and I got along really well, but What were we supposed to be talking about? Oh, advice.
Advice. Best marriage advice you've ever received.
Well, drop your wife off to her parents' house. That's treat her like your first date.
Okay. Reese, Shauna.
I think the best piece of advice I ever received was to always put your marriage first. Oh, Jesus. Then your marriage. And I remember thinking, well, duh, I'm going to put my marriage first. Hello. Well, then life comes up and kids, and it's easy to put, you know, that above your marriage. But I think, obviously, it's the most important thing, and your kids see that. And I don't know. That's always stuck with me, making date nights priorities, going out of town, making us the priority.
Yeah. Nice, but don't talk. No, that's good. Her mom gave us that advice. And now once we started raising our kids, it made a lot of sense. Like, you have to continually remind yourself that your kids, although you love them and adore them and whatever, your marriage comes above that. And that's been really helpful for us because it is very tempting for us to do that. The other thing is after Malachi was born, Shauna had really bad postpartum depression. And you guys know Keith Banta. He spent every Wednesday for an entire year meeting with me, 5:30 a.m. at Roasters in Richland, and never missed a day. And that man sat across from me and listened to me cry and gave me advice and pointed me to the Lord. And the guy's an absolute gift. Kind of wish Amy and Ann were here. But I'll never forget, like, just telling him how hard it is as a husband when your wife's struggling, that you want to be the rock. And yes, you want to be strong as a man, but Keith continually reminded me that it was my job also to fall on my face and depend on the true rock so that he was the rock of our marriage. Just hearing that over and over again was by far the best advice I ever received, and during the worst time of my entire life.
That's good.
I think I was told from like a campus minister in college, it's probably like a well-known statement, but I never really thought about it. He said, marriage isn't to make you happy, it's to make you holy. And I'd always wanted to be married, like, growing up. I thought that would be, like, the ultimate thing was, like, be married and have a family. But I kind of saw it as a way to be happy. And I don't think it's less than that. So I think you could construe that and say marriage isn't there to make you happy. I think you should be happy, and you should find joy in that. But I think it's a lot more than that. And so I thought that was helpful.
Melinda Younger told me, if your husband was perfect, then you wouldn't need Jesus. I like that, because it goes both ways. If I was perfect, you wouldn't need Jesus, you know? So I loved that. I can't remember if she, I think that might have been advice she had gotten too, but yeah.
Okay, well, guys, we have just some time to open it up. Any questions that you guys have that you want to send them their way at all? So raise your hand. If not, I'm going to ask them a much lighter question.
No, I know you guys were at different stages, of course, but and are always continually putting the Lord first in it. But what is, I mean, something now that you maybe do or have tried with, like, personal time and devotions with the Lord and doing that together as a couple? What are some things you've done, some things you've heard that you maybe do today that are good?
Um, it was probably like in the last year, we just, and this isn't really devotion, but we just started praying every night together. And it's weird how that habit wasn't already formed, but it was probably out of a season of, I don't know, just a tough season we were in. And I think we just knew we needed prayer more then. And so we have done that since, and it's been really energizing for us to just pray together at night. I don't know, can you think of other things? I think we've always like wanted to like do a Bible study together. Like we've done that in groups. It seems like we let too many excuses come our way to not do it.
We memorized scripture together recently.
Oh yeah.
That was really fun.
That's right.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So, because it was something we could both do on our own time throughout the day, but then come back together and kind of practice. Yeah. So that was good.
Well, in our current stage of life, nice hat, by the way, in our current stage of life, with our kids being 15, 11, and 9, honestly, we try to make as much of our devotional time with them, just in this current stage. And I would even say probably the greatest spiritual gift during this crazy part of life is just allowing each other to go off on your own to be with the Lord and taking care of all of the other life things that we have going on. And like my wife has been diligent lately about letting me, when I get home from work, to go pray to the Lord for 20 or 30 minutes, literally to re-energize and get back after at home. And that is a gift. That is not something that that we've always done, but like I think that's incredibly important.
We have mostly the last number of years we've read through the Bible generally the same pattern, the same way. We don't necessarily do it together, but we do it, and then we will discuss back and forth some of the things that we have been learning and knowing, and then we often pray for special needs, people in the church. I pray through the membership directory every week, Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday just pray overall. For the service. Pardon? Don't pray on Sunday. Yeah. Well, I come to church. I pray at church. And Sherry is a real prayer warrior, and she has a number of people who call on her from time to time and share needs with her. And she's very diligent at remembering them in prayer and conversing with them when they call. And she spends a lot of time talking with different people who have confided in her, and she's a very wise woman, and you could take some good help from her.
One thing that we started doing quite a while ago is when we'd go on vacation, we would choose a book, not a Bible book, but a book pertaining to the Bible. And so we would study that together as we were on vacation. And that was really, it was really good, really, really helpful. And we don't do that anymore, but Joe's been such an example to me because every morning, he's up reading the Word before his day starts. And I've said to him once when we were in ministry full time, why don't you do your devotions at church? He said, no, I need to do them before I get to church. I need to be prepared in that way. So he's been a real example to me to read the Word every day. I've gotten way behind taking care of him. I can see why some of you get behind, you know, because now I'm retired. Basically I don't have anything to do, but since he had this knee operation. So I've been reading like crazy, trying to get caught up. But anyway, God is good.
Well, I wish we had a lot more time. I didn't realize actually how late it is already. It's already 7:33, so we're going to have to bring it to an end. If you guys want to ask them any questions, You can do that anytime. They're here every Sunday. So, yeah, so I want to thank all of you guys for coming up, opening up your lives and your marriage. And I do also want to thank Laree Williams. Laree has put an enormous amount of work into making these events happen every week. Thank you, Laree. Okay, well, let's go ahead and close just by standing and singing the doxology.
And don't forget about shoeboxes.